This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, I mentioned something at the first service that I'm surprised at how different crowds react to different jokes. I thought it was funny, but nobody laughed. You know, it's just one of those things. But that happens a lot with my jokes lately. Nobody laughed. I was telling a true story about listening to a Cincinnati radio station, and there was a scientist who was talking about things that are being worked on and developed to increase longevity so that people, he believed in the next 50 to 75 years, he believes it's possible that people will live to be 130 years old. And that will be routine, 130 years old. There were two people interviewing him. The interview was over. They thanked him for coming to the studio, and he left. And then I listened for 2 or 3 minutes as these two announcers, radio personalities, talked about the conversation. And one of them said to the other, he said, you know, the only problem I have living to be a 130-year-old man is this. He said, even if I date a woman who's 20 years younger, she'll still be 110. I thought it was funny, but you didn't like it either. And I guess the other side of the coin is, a woman said, if I live to be 110, I'm going to have to date a 130-year-old. That, I guess it works both ways. What's your learning style? How is it do you learn? Well, there's basically 3 or 4 ways you learn. Some of you are visual learners. You learn with your eyes. Show me how to do it. When you went to school, you were more of a visual learner. Other people learn through their hearing, and they are auditory learners. You explain it to me. Go over it, and then I will understand it. Other people discern through their mind, and they read, and they ponder it, and then after a week or two, they say, now I get it. They discern through their intellect and mind. People are tactile learners. They learn by doing things. But today, we're going to learn about a new way of learning that's maybe new to some of you, even as a believer in Jesus Christ, where you can say, now I get it, and you really do get it for this reason. We're going to study today a passage in the book of Corinthians where the Apostle Paul says there are things that are only revealed to you by the Holy Spirit of God. Would you listen to that again? There are things that you will learn in life that are only revealed by the Spirit of God. You don't learn them visually. You don't learn them through hearing, through the ears. You don't even discern it through the intellect. It's something that the Spirit of the living God reveals to your spirit this: there is sin in my life. I do need to be more forgiving. I do need to be more loving. There is somebody I need to restore a relationship with. Where do those things come from? Your conscience? No. I believe most of it comes from the Spirit of the living God. Let's read it together. It's in 1 Corinthians 2. We're preaching through this New Testament book of the Bible, and chapter 2, verse 9 is where we pick it up. However, as it is written, Paul said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10 is the verse I want you to underline in your heart and in your Bible if you'll do it. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him. For he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. Well, this message from 1 Corinthians 2 will continue tomorrow. It's different in that we're going to do something in a message I've never done before. I'll let that pique your curiosity to tune in tomorrow at the same time to Cross Hope to hear part 2 of this message. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. Crosshope.org. What we're going to do today is something I've never done before in a sermon. Really haven't. I can't remember ever doing what I'm going to do today, and it's this. We've got a text we're looking at, 1 Corinthians 2, where the key verse is, verse 10, that God's revealed these things to us by his Spirit. I'm going to use a companion passage where it says, here's what the Spirit of God will reveal to you. This is going to be an eye-opening experience for people for this reason. I'm going to read a passage of scripture today where it's going to seem like a spotlight that's in the ceiling is going to be right on you. You're going to feel that light come right on you. You say, how do you know that? Because I have people tell me that every week. And I don't say that arrogantly or presumptuously. That's what happens when the word of God is preached. There are people who say, I felt like one of the lights in the sanctuary was just on me today because the Spirit of God was speaking to a person. There's a man here today. There's a woman here today. I don't know who you are. It's none of my business who it is. But the Lord's going to speak to you about some things, get this, that are going on in your life that shouldn't be. And the Lord's going to speak to some people today about things that aren't going on in your life that should be there. And it's all in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16, I believe. Galatians 5, 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now here's the key verse, verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. We're going to go through this slowly. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Let's stop right there. I think most people know what sexual immorality and impurity are, but you may not be sure about the word debauchery. You know what debauchery means? It's conspicuous sin. Conspicuous sin. It's somebody who says, not only am I going to do this, I don't care who knows. I don't give a flip who knows. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's called debauchery. I'm going to be immoral if I want to, and who cares? Who cares if I'm that way? It's conspicuous sin. It's interesting. That's what Paul names as the first three acts of the sinful nature. They're obvious, he said. Verse 20, idolatry and witchcraft. Let's stop right there. I mentioned this recently. We don't practice or have idols in our country, but we do practice idolatry. Anything that comes between you and the living God is an idol. Would you listen to that again? Anything in your life or my life that comes between me and the living God can be my idol. It can be a house. It can be a car. It can be a job. It can be a career. It can be anything. It can be a person. Something or someone that comes between you and the Lord God Almighty can be an idol. I'm going to say some things about witchcraft that I've never said before because most Christian people say, well, you don't need to talk to us about witchcraft. Have you ever cursed anybody and said, I wish he would die? That's witchcraft. I wish she would fall flat on her face. I wish she would fail at work. I wish he would lose his job. Believe it or not, that's a form of witchcraft. You say, what do you mean it's a form of witchcraft? When you place a curse on someone and you curse someone in your heart or in your mind, to me, that's a form of, a mild form perhaps, of witchcraft. Not just people who go to seances and use Ouija boards that are practicing occult practices. Witchcraft, in a sense, can be placed on any of us who try to act in our own power, where we use our power to curse somebody. Well, I put this curse upon him, this curse upon her.
Well, I want you to tune in tomorrow to part 3 of this message from 1 Corinthians 2 and actually Galatians 5. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. Now then, today, part 3 of a message we began on Monday from 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 9. That talked about God revealing things to men and women through their spirits, or things that you learn not intellectually or not through the auditory system or visually or tactily. You learn it through the Spirit of God. And Galatians 5 is a passage that talks about the acts of the sinful nature. And it's a heavy-duty passage that we began yesterday. We pick it up talking about witchcraft happening in the life of a Christian. Yes, you heard me right. Witchcraft can sometimes happen in the life of a Christian. We'll pick it up there and continue. God bless you as you listen.
When you place a curse on someone and you curse someone in your heart or in your mind, to me, that's a form of, a mild form perhaps, of witchcraft. Not just people who go to seances and use Ouija boards that are practicing occult practices. Witchcraft, in a sense, can be placed on any of us who try to act in our own power, where we use our power to curse somebody. Well, I put this curse upon him, this curse upon her. Verse 20 also says hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, and factions. What do all those mean? Simply this. Is there anything going on in your life where you try to stir up trouble with other people? Do you remember back in the fourth and fifth grade? And I don't know why I said fourth and fifth grade, but I'm sure it happens in every grade. But do you remember in fourth and fifth grade when somebody would come up to you and tell you about something that someone said about you, and then they went to the other person and they said, do you know what she said about you? Do you know what he said about you? And they were playing both sides against the middle. They were stirring up discord and they were stirring up tension. And all they did was watch from the sidelines the conflict that they instigated. That's a sin to be forgiven, because let me tell you something, there are people in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s who do the same thing. Anything that divides people is discord. Anything that divides groups of people, families, is discord. It's disharmony. It's dissension and factions. Let's bring up verse 21. And envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not here today to tell you you're a bad person. And if you leave here today and say, boy, Randy really let us have it, you're misunderstanding the whole point. All I'm doing is reading what the Word of God says. And then like those lights in the ceiling, does it speak to you? Does the Word speak to you in a way today where you say, yeah, that's me? Bruce Wilkinson is the author who wrote the famous book, The Prayer of Jabez. He wrote a book right after that where he talks about using this passage of Scripture in a way I'd never thought about using before ever in my life. He says we need to get Galatians 5 out, read it slowly, word by word, and then stop and say, Lord, is any of that in my life? And then pause. Go to the next one. Lord, is there any of this stuff in my life? And he said, you might be amazed, you might be shocked, as that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God says, yeah, it is going on in your life. It is. And you see yourself in a new light. Get this, because verse 10 of the other passage says, it's revealed to us by God's Holy Spirit. Listen carefully. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you that a psychiatrist never will reveal to you. There are things the Holy Spirit will reveal to your spirit that your husband or wife will never reveal to you. Your parents will never reveal it to you. Your children will never reveal it to you. Only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal. Get this, not to your mind, but to your spirit. Listen carefully. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you that a psychiatrist never will reveal to you. A psychologist, a professional counselor, doesn't matter. There are things the Holy Spirit will reveal to your spirit that your husband or wife will never reveal to you. Your parents will never reveal it to you. Your children will never reveal it to you. Your best friend will never reveal to you what only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal. Get this, not to your mind, but to your spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God that lives in every believer, get this, speaks, I really believe this, speaks to your spirit. You can call that hocus pocus, you can call it whatever you want, I just call it the truth. That's what the Word says. The Holy Spirit reveals things to our spirit. Now here's the upside of this passage. Let's go on into verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, verse 23, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. In the same way, Bruce Wilkinson says, you pray through Galatians 5, those first verses, you pray through these and say, Lord, is there love in my heart for other people? Reveal it to me. Lord, is there patience? Is there faithfulness? Lord, is there goodness? Is there self-control, gentleness, all the positive fruits of the Spirit? And ask the Lord to reveal to you what needs to be there. And ask the Lord then to give you those attributes in your life, because I believe it's an inside job. E. Stanley Jones was a Methodist minister and missionary years ago who developed a friendship with Gandhi. He wrote a book about Gandhi and understood Gandhi perhaps better than any other Christian writer was E. Stanley Jones. But E. Stanley Jones tells about being with Gandhi when a man came, get this, who rode on a train 800 miles just to ask Gandhi two questions. And so he came to E. Stanley Jones, the same man, and said, I came to Gandhi to ask him the questions. I want to know how you would answer them. And he said, well, what are the questions? He said, how can I get rid of sin? And how can I find God? That's all he asked Gandhi. And E. Stanley Jones did something interesting. He said to the man, well, before I give you my answer, would you tell me what Gandhi told you? What was the answer he gave to those two questions? How can I get rid of sin? And how can I find God? The man said, no, I'll be glad to tell you what he said. He told me to sit down in one place and not roam about as some people do, but stay in one place until I had conquered my senses and my passions and worn them out that I might find release. Just sit down in one place until you conquer your passions. Was there no offer of immediate relief? Jones asked. Oh, no. He said it would take a long, long time. And then this man turns to E. Stanley Jones and says, what do you say to those two questions? This missionary, this believer in Jesus Christ said, my yearning was exactly what your yearning is. I needed to know how to get rid of sin in my life, and I needed to know God, but I didn't stay in one place till I had worn out my passions. I simply turned over a bankrupt soul to Jesus Christ. And as I gave my all to him, he gave me his all. Listen to this beautiful line. It didn't take years, it took surrender. It didn't take years, it took surrender. It didn't take time, it took me. Where did E. Stanley Jones get an answer like that? From the Spirit of God. Because that's exactly what your question is. How do I get rid of sin? How do I find God? You know, the Holy Spirit will prompt you about good things. The Holy Spirit, I believe, will prompt you about bad things. I grew up in the Chicago area, and I read recently about a man by the name of Dean Neferitas, I think is his name. He was riding a CTA bus in Chicago, Chicago Transit Authority. The bus, he said, brimmed with dozens of office workers, teenagers, and affluent shoppers. At the Clark and Webster stop, two men and a woman climbed into the bus. The driver, a seasoned veteran, immediately yelled out to everybody on the bus, everybody watch your wallets and your valuables. There are pickpockets on board. Women clutched their purses tightly. Men put their hands on their wallets. All eyes were fixed on the trio, who, looking insulted and harassed, didn't even break stride as they promptly exited through the rear doors as they just walked through the bus and out. The Bible warns us to be vigilant because evil is less likely to overtake us when we're watching. What's my point in that story? There is a man here who needs the Holy Spirit of God to prompt him to watch out for what's going on in his life. And there's a woman here today, I don't know who you are, but the Holy Spirit of God may be speaking to you right now to watch out. There's a pickpocket in your life. It's not a physical pickpocket, it's a spiritual pickpocket. Something that wants to steal the joy out of your life and to steal the purity out of your life and steal your faithfulness to Jesus Christ out of your life. My point is this, the Holy Spirit convicts, but the Holy Spirit warns. The Holy Spirit encourages, he's the comforter, but he also admonishes us. And that's the message today, that the Lord reveals things to us through our spirit. Let him reveal something to you today. I'm going to close with this story here. I have two sisters. One sister is a year younger than I am, and she lives in Wheaton, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. I have another sister, 5 years younger, that lives in Columbus, Ohio, named Kathy. Kathy's a songwriter, and I want you to listen to a song she wrote just recently. The lyrics go like this: when the pain goes deeper, with each tear you cry, when the cost of failing seems way too high, when it's hard to change that you can't even try, all you have to do is call on Jesus. When it feels like you're lost without a friend, when it seems like the hurting will never end, when your spirit is broken and your heart can't mend, all you have to do is call on Jesus. When you're caught in confusion and trapped in your shame, when your heart can't hold one more drop of pain, when you look back on your life and all you see are the stains, All you have to do is call on Jesus. When you long to give up and dismantle your dreams, when regret is driving you to painful extremes, when hope starts falling apart at the seams, all you have to do is call on Jesus. And then two-line chorus that goes like this: call on Jesus, he's the one who made you. Call on Jesus, his love alone can save you. Call on Jesus, his love alone can save you. Where does Kathy get that kind of thinking? I want to suggest to you, and not being melodramatic here, that the Holy Spirit of God can reveal to your heart, doesn't have to be a song, but just reveal to you that where your hope is, it's not in the system, it's not in the people you work for, your hope is in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. My endurance in this situation, in grief, is in the Lord. Everything that I need to sustain my life is in the Lord. It's not in anything man offers, it's in everything Christ accomplished on the cross. Would you listen to that again? It's in everything that Christ accomplished on the cross. There's nothing that you will discern intellectually about what the Lord wants to give you other than through your spirit. There's no intelligence level that you have that will help you to understand what God wants to reveal to men and women, young people in this room today, and he reveals it by his spirit, get this, to your spirit.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.